Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. We're doing a free agent based strategy session here for your Sunday. So we'll just dive through all the free agent sort of onlooking, see what we might be able to learn from and maybe potentially act on before free agency occurs, and what maybe we might be able to expect once we get some free agent signings. So the big prizes from free agency at quarterback were supposed to be Lamar Jackson, Daniel Jones, Derek Carr, Geno Smith, all of them now under contract. Well, with the exception of one, Lamar Jackson. So we did a Lamar Jackson non-exclusive franchise tag podcast earlier this week, talked about that, kind of dove in depth on what I thought from like a strategic perspective made a lot of sense for what they did. Listen, I think there's teams out there that could really afford to spend up on him. Atlanta, for example. I don't think Detroit's out of the realm of conversation. So we'll see sort of what the market looks like there for him in restricted or in offer sheet land. But that's really the thing. Again, Daniel Jones signs, Derek Carr signs, Geno Smith signs. And that leaves kind of a big next tier. I think your biggest, probably your most likely starter is probably Jimmy G. Jacoby Brissett probably makes some sense too. I mean, Jimmy G is actually the active leader in yards per attempt at 8.3. I don't think anyone believes that because of the Kyle Shanahan system. We kind of know what that does to inflate some quarterback stats. Some of the big time throws, target turnover-worthy play stuff for Jimmy G isn't great, right? So that's kind of the what do you do on your own, right? So the outside of the system. Some of those stats aren't necessarily great there for him. 31 years old, 55 career starts since he was traded to San Francisco in 2017, and only has 1,632 attempts in those 5 years. By comparison, Geno Smith is 32, has 51 career starts, and has 1,578 career passing attempts, and was a backup for 6 seasons and out of the league for another one, right? That's how limited of a sample Jimmy Garoppolo has in his time in San Francisco. So Geno Smith, same age, and was basically a backup and was out of the league, right? His total career numbers are about what Garoppolo has done during his time in San Francisco. So not a lot there. He'll be in the range of like a later quarterback two or quarterback three in dynasty format, depending on where he signs. I think he's more in that quarterback three land. It's going to be a likely 1 year prove it deal. A team like Washington might be interesting. Some other teams, he's been tied to Houston, which I think would be like a less interesting way, and plus they're going to be in the landscape to bring in a quarterback. If I was him, I'd rather land in a place like Washington. It's not impossible to think that he could be productive there, in a quarterback two type landscape with some decent supporting cast. They don't have a clear way to get the quarterback position fixed. I mean, I think that would make a really natural fit. We'll see what their interest is. Again, the problem was he's probably the fourth best quarterback in the division if they do that, third or fourth. How much you want to spend on that, right? What's he cost? I'm really interested to see all those things. So that's kind of the take on Jimmy G. Not a huge dynasty play at this point, but if you're trying to bridge some gaps, you kind of think about what his value might be, his usefulness might be for a dynasty team. If you have some young quarterbacks, it's not typically a route we're going, but he might be a blend there, right? If you're kind of trying to fix quarterback two, can't get an elite guy, you got maybe a early to mid first round rookie pick. You want to take a guy, can you kind of backstop that with a guy like Garoppolo, for way dirt cheap, Brissett for dirt cheap, and kind of hope to land on something? Like, it's uninspiring, but if that's like the worst you got, if that's the best you got, like I can sort of. I can understand why you would do that. I'd spent a ton of time trying to avoid that outcome. But I mean, I've got him in two quarterback, for example. I'm going to hold tight. Again, he's very valuable in a spot where you have to start two quarterbacks. I wouldn't necessarily take like a later second round rookie pick for him or anything like that. Give me a guy that's going to start and, he can fill some gaps for me. What's replaceable? Not a ton of quarterbacks walking around if he lands a job. like can where I would be drafting running backs or some depth wide receiver, something like that. Those are much more plentiful. So that would be the way I think about it. Brissett actually was pretty good this past year. They as a team weren't that great, but he started 11 games, threw for 7.1 yards per attempt. That's his best performance of the season with 10 or more starts. He also ran for 15.2 points per game. That's in line with his seasons of 2017 and 2019, where he was a starter in Indy. So again, didn't start all the games, but on a per game basis, when he started, actually was better in terms of rushing this past year. So good stuff there for him. He's the type of quarterback too. If he starts, I think he's got a higher ceiling than a guy like Garoppolo does, just from fantasy production. Atlanta, Washington, Tampa are all places you could see him potentially be interesting. You know, Houston as well. But I mean, I'd really love to see him land in a spot. I mean, Atlanta'd be super interesting for a guy like him. You know, compete with Desmond Ridder. You know, has some of that running ability as well. I think that'd be an interesting landing spot. And then I'm kind of hoping, you know, if I can get him outside the 30, something like that in a startup draft, I think that's interesting. You know, last year I was in on Brady in some spots. I was in on, you know, Rodgers with some spots, and I was kind of like, well, I kind of have to have a forward-looking plan. I got kind of stuck with Brady in the fourth round as my quarterback too, and I didn't really have great outs after that. You know, it was like, well, what do I do? I went with Geno Smith. I actually took Jordan Love in the league, and just tried to say, all right, like, let me give myself a shot at someone in 2023. And those things actually kind of worked out for me. Right? Brissett kind of fits that model for me. If I was thinking about, you know, if I'm in on a guy like Rodgers at a discount, you know, we're not necessarily sure on Stafford, right? Yeah, I don't necessarily think Brissett's got a huge chance of landing a long-term starting job anywhere, but I didn't think that with Geno Smith either. Right. So I think giving yourself some optionality at a premium position in super flex and two quarterbacks, I think makes a lot of sense. Baker is a potential backup. I mean, he's been like the least efficient quarterback in the NFL. You know, how does he take a demotion would be a real question. Right. How does he behave? Sort of take that. That'd be the thing I'd think about. Started 10 games this past year and only threw for 6.5 yards per attempt. Really, the highlight of the season was that game where he came in relief, where he had been in with the Rams for like 3 days, right? I think that's really the highlight of his season this past year, and that ain't great. Mariota's another one, you know, kind of offers a little bit like Brissett, but kind of coming off of a down year. You know, I wonder what the market looks like for him. Is he kind of a backup? He kind of served as a backup in with the Raiders. One of the higher paid backups. You question whether that's a good idea or not. You know, is he sort of land something like that again? Does a team like that wants to buy low on some pedigree make some sense? You think of teams that might have an open backup situation. You know, I don't know, the Chiefs, something like that makes some sense about bringing him in. And that's a team that's consistently kind of bet on some pedigree guys that have failed earlier on in their career. He's not going to obviously land a starting job, but you kind of look at something like that. Landing in a decent starting situation could also be interesting. Carson Wentz is another one. You know, he's been underwhelmed with two of the most needy quarterback teams in the league, Washington and Indy. And they both moved on after 1 year. Right. The other team, Carolina, has Frank Reich, which was his coach in Philly, and in Indy, and basically cost him his job in Indy. So not necessarily sure there's a huge market there for him out there. You know, how humbled is he willing to be? It's kind of been a lot of the Carson Wentz concern in his career. You know, is he a, can a guy like t can a team like Tampa take a Jameis Winston to New Orleans type bet on a guy like Carson Wentz, right? That's kind of the bet that they would have to be taking for them to be kind of in on Carson Wentz. So if there's going to be teams like Tampa that don't have better options, I don't know. We'll see with Carson Wentz. Like, he's worn out a lot of welcomes at places. Some other guys: Sam Darnold, Teddy Bridgewater, Gardner Minshew. Those are guys probably all like backups at this point. You know, Darnold, I saw speculated that he could be the next kind of iteration of Geno Smith at some point. Like, if we were to look back in like 5 years, And it's like, there's another Geno Smith, like maybe the more likely, most likely of those guys is to be Sam Darnold. I don't know. It's not a bet I'm making a ton of, but again, what do we bet on? Depressed pedigree. I don't think it's the most likely thing for him, but I understand that argument. It's just not a very common outcome, right? It's kind of the base rate on it's low. So even if he's like the highest likelihood, it's still low likelihood. So, but watch him again. He's shown some stuff and maybe in some better landing spots, he could be better, but hasn't been great so far in his career. The running backs, I was hoping we would see Jacobs and Barkley at the market. Not going to see that. So both franchise tag. David Montgomery and Miles Sanders probably at the top of the list there. There's some thought that maybe Dalvin Cook gets traded. You know, maybe by the time that this comes out, that actually happens. I'm recording this Friday morning to come out on Sunday for your strategy session. So that might be something that we see again. If that happens, I will cut a pod, so we'll have that covered. But finishes running back 24 this past year, but is 28 in terms of points per game. He's basically been a hit every year, but he's more of an accumulator. Right? He's kind of an accumulator. He could score in the rushing and the passing game, kind of eat innings for you, almost like James Conner. That's kind of like a comp for him that I had. You know, he's kind of on that sort of scale. Like, does he land a starting job, or does he kind of land like a kind of 1 year prove it James Conner like backup job someplace else? And then, you know, he's behind this iteration of Chase Edmonds, right? The 2023 iteration of Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds doesn't perform that well, and he kind of takes over, right? Like, that's kind of like what you're thinking about. Like, Montgomery has more of that in him than I think he does like elite fantasy ceiling. So, but again, if you put David Montgomery in a good situation, right? I mean, if you had put him in Arizona last year, like if you put him in, you know, if he was with the Chiefs or something like that, like he could be effective. Like he kind of plays to the level of the offense. Right. So that's kind of the way that I would think about him, almost the way that James Conner does. Right. James Conner is not going to elevate an offense, but he can, if an offense is going to give him some space and some opportunity, he's good enough to prove value there. Right. That's kind of the argument that I have with Montgomery. Miles Sanders is going to go ahead of him, I would expect, in free agency. 1269 in terms of rushing yards last year, fifth best in the league. That's his best of his career. His passing game is alarming. 50 catches as a rookie, 28, 26, 20 the past 2 years, and is not top 200 yards. His early 20s in ADP, I'm out. Like, I just don't see the ceiling. Like, he's kind of like a lesser, like, he's basically J.K. Dobbins, who I've said is, you know, overvalued in kind of like the later teens. Like, wouldn't you rather take a Cam Akers type swing like much later? That would kind of be the thing that I would say. I just like Miles Sanders doing what he does is like kind of like running back 10. I at best, you know, it's like a Derrick Henry. It's like a lesser Derrick Henry type profile. It's just really hard to make a difference doing that. So, and even Derrick Henry's caught passes recently. So we'll watch for him. I mean, I think he's going to be one of those ones. If he vaults up into the teens and dynasty price, I'm like firmly out. Damian Harris is very similar to Miles Sanders. Ran for 15 touchdowns in 2021. Doesn't have the rushing ceiling, rushing yardage ceiling that Miles Sanders has had. But he was held to only 106 carries when he fell behind Ramondre Stevenson. He got hurt this past year. So he's really entering free agency at a discount. 40 catches in his career, but it was only on 449 carries as well, right? So it isn't that much volume. He's got less than 500 touches in his career. So not a ton of volume there for him. I think he's reasonably priced in the 40s. Again, is he land as an injury away guy? Is he a guy, again, I keep thinking of some of the places that need running back, quote, need running back. Is he a prove it type player in Buffalo? You know, that would be certainly one that would be interesting to me. Is he a prove it type player in Denver? Right. You know, is he get a shot with Houston? Right. That's a familiar coaching staff there, familiar front office there anyways. Like you look at some spaces where he could potentially come in and be a backup. You know, I mean, what's going on in Cincinnati? I'm not sure. You know, you start looking around and you're like, there's some places that could be kind of interesting for him. You know, I don't know. But he's more on that running back two backup injury away type landscape. You kind of hope he lands behind like a buried guy, like someone that looks like it would bury him, and just kind of hope that he's an injury away player. That's kind of what you're looking for in terms of his prognosis at this point. But I do think, again, the rushing upside, I've always thought he's had untapped receiving potential as well. It just didn't get carved out with the Patriots. So I wouldn't necessarily bury him as being unable to do that. He did it a little bit better in college. So we'll see. Like, I think he could play three downs, right? You go back to some of the earlier AOD work, like thinking about some of like some of the matrix stuff, could be kind of maybe a team doesn't want to go the whole season with him, but if a starter went down in week four, like you could turn over the job to him for an extended period of time and come out okay. That's kind of Damian Harris at this point. Devin Singletary, I don't really know what to do with. Like, I'm super fascinated by what his market has been. He's caught 29 passes at least 29 in each of the past four seasons, but it's never topped 280 yards receiving. It's like impossible to believe. 51.7 rushing yards per game in his career. But he's never topped 870 in a season. Remember, a couple of years ago, he was a running back one in the playoffs. I think he kind of lands someplace. I would imagine the Bills let him walk. The Bills are going to pick up some comp picks, which would be kind of nice next year. We'll see how that goes. But I imagine they let Devin Singletary test free agency. James, turn this over to James Cook. I think maybe one of the bigger free agent news items is going to be to watch what happens to James Cook's ADP. Like, he probably should get into the teens. I don't think that's unreasonable. If you can buy kind of lowish now, if you could buy sort of mid 20s right now, I'm interested to watch him sort of go up, and then, you know, maybe it's a flip piece, something like that. Maybe he's an ARB candidate as well, right? You buy low now and maybe you don't necessarily be able to flip him, but you have him in another league and you can kind of sell him high, right? Sort of do some of those ARB things. I think James Cook's maybe the biggest mover and shaker right now of the potential free agents upcoming. Alexander Mattison is just sitting looming, and I'm interested. Delvin Cook, there's all sorts of rumors out there with Delvin Cook that he might get traded. Again, I mentioned this. If he gets traded before this podcast comes out, I will cut a podcast, and you can listen to that and replace it for the content here. But he does not want to take a pay cut. Well, he's guaranteed $2 million. They could save like $8 million. He's got like about $15 million cap hit. They could save like half of it, maybe even a little over half of it by trading him. And they need to do some cap stuff, right? They kind of need to reset the clock. Madison's a free agent. I mean, I don't know if they're in the business for kind of cheap, I don't even know what his market would be. You know, maybe if it's, 3 years, $15 million with, I don't know, six guaranteed, something like that. You know, I don't know, something in that range. Maybe they'd be interested in bringing him back. I'm not sure. But maybe they just go into free agency and go into the draft and just say, we'll take somebody and figure it out. Like, I could see that too. But I think there's a non-zero chance he's a starter in Minnesota next year. I think there's a non-zero chance he's like an injury away, like a 1A, 1B type situation. You know, I keep using Buffalo, but is he kind of the heavy to a James Cook backfield, right? They kind of keep going kind of cheap it out and, you know, it's kind of spending in the middle of the position. That would be an approach that the Bills have done for a while now. Is that something that they do? We'll see, right? I think he was drawing some trade trade discussions early on in the off season. We'll sort of see how that all, earlier on, like around the trade deadline in the season, we'll sort of see how that, you know, if there is actually a market out there for him. In the meantime, while you're thinking about free agency, also, I mean, Kenny Wongwu and Ty Chandler, a couple of guys that are on that depth chart in Minnesota that I think are interesting if Madison and or Cook were to depart in free agency. Lenny, he signed 3 years, $21 million in 2020. They cut him after only one season. They're giving him $2 million guaranteed this year, and they're only saving $3.5 million of his $8.5 million cap hit. So, not saving a lot of money in either cash. Well, they're actually not saving money in cash. They're giving him money in cash. I guess they're saving 4.5, but giving him 2 potentially go away. And they're not saving that much cap either. So the willingness to basically just kind of let him walk away isn't a great sign. Rashad White, obviously a beneficiary, positive buzz in 2022 offseason. You know, worked his way into a timeshare in 2022 regular season. Candidate to be a top 20 running back in Dynasty if they had no significant draft competition. I think he's already there. We'll see if they add, right? Not super likely. I think about 15-20% chance based on some of your historical survivor rate, threat rate, that sort of thing. So we'll see how it goes, right? We'll see how it goes there with him. The quarterback situation is going to be interesting, how that goes. But I think he played well. He played well enough to certainly warrant starting day one. You know, we'll see what they're going to add somebody else would be my assumption. We'll see what the level of that addition is. Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, both free agents in Miami, probably most impactful, like one of them maybe an injury away guy, something like that. Most impactful is that that's an open landing spot for another player. Samaje Perine with Cincinnati, Joe Mixon potential cut candidate, Perine free agent. Perine had like an alarmingly low big play rate. It was like 4% of his yards or something like that, 6% of his yards. Came from like breakaway runs, which are runs bigger than 15 yards. That's like the lowest in the league. So he's very limited in terms of what he's going to offer in terms of ceiling, but can run, can play in the passing game, can pass block, right? That's a player that's like a classic HHG profile, right? Can basically kind of do everything well, dependable, and can play in a pinch, right? That's exactly what HHGs are. You know, he's like a less explosive version of like Latavius Murray in terms of being able to really do everything. So that's my sort of thought there on him. Kareem Hunt has basically fallen off a cliff the past couple of years. Only 7.2 carries per game this past season, which is his lowest since he's been in Cleveland outside of that suspension shortened 2019 season. Lowest receiving yards per game, 12.4 of his career. He was with a tandem with Chubb, but remember there was like an in-season trend line of Chubb getting more receiving work this past year. I think there's optimism in the Dynasty community he's going to get a starter job. I think there's guys on this list that are much more likely to get a starter job than Kareem Hunt is. Just a lot of mileage, and it's actually not that much mileage, but he's got a lot of baggage with some declining production on, you know, a little bit more mileage than some of these other guys, right? He's not young either. So, I mean, I think, you know, does he get an injury away crack? Or is he a 1B someplace? That's kind of what the best hope is, I think. I think people think he's just going to go slide into like an open landing spot. I don't necessarily see that. Rashad Penny is really the last one on the list. He's been here 5 years in his career. 337 carries. He's like the Jimmy Garoppolo of running backs. By comparison, to sort of give you some context on that, Derrick Henry had 349 and Josh Jacobs had 340 carries in 2022. Both of those players had more carries in 2022 than Rashad Penny has had in his career. When he's been on the field, though, he's averaged 5.7 yards per carry, a full half yard more per carry than Nick Chubb, who's the active leader at 5.2 for running backs with more than 750 carries. So elite sort of per touch efficiency, however, not great in the going to really kill it in terms of, volume and dependability. So he's a class, like he's a good HHG profile in the sense of if he comes in, he could be a difference maker. But again, when can he come in is a whole other question. The wide receiver class is probably the worst of this free agency. Jacoby Myers, Hardman. I mean, Jacoby Myers is probably the best. 21.4% of his routes he's been targeted on his career, 1.78 yards per route run. Those are like top 15 percentile performances. Wide receiver 34 in a bad offense last year in New England. He's in the 40s in ADP. I think people are going to – he's going to get the Christian Kirk treatment because people aren't going to appreciate how much he's going to get paid. So that's pretty that's a like a volume value boost type deal. So if he's out there and available, like I'm interested kind of throwing in back ends of deals and the like. I'm interested in something like that. I don't think he's necessarily a big difference maker. Can he turn into being like an innings eater, something like that? A wide receiver two innings eater in a good offense. I'm not sure who's gonna be able to afford him is kind of one of the things. 209 is a recent trade for him. I think I'd rather have the liquidity of the pick. Future third, I'm interested there. Like him for Kenneth Gainwell, I think like that's kind of doing it right. Someone did for Miles Sanders. I hate that. Like I'd rather have Miles Sanders. But yeah, I mean, if you could sort of get like, you know, a future third, a third this year, something like that for him, if you could give that, I'm interested. Because I think he's got Christian Kirk like, holy shit, what did they pay him? Type of reaction, like exactly when we did that. That's kind of the Jacoby Myers profile for this year. Mecole Hardman only started 26 games for Kansas City. He's got a career high of 693 receiving yards. He's only run routes on 45.1% of his team's dropbacks. Again, it's a classic like underperforming profile, like never was a full-time starter, some injury stuff as well. Can hope for a bigger role in an offense, but I don't really know. Like, A, I don't know if he's capable of it. B, I don't know if like you're never going to get anything near what he had in Kansas City. Maybe a return to Kansas City, kind of as a role player, but I don't know if there's a big, like people might think of him being a bigger impact player, but I'm not necessarily sure I buy that at this point in his career. Juju, signed a one-year deal, had 101 targets, 78 receptions, 933 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns. Second highest receiving yardage total of his career. Finished wide receiver 33, projects more of an innings eater, right? We've talked about him in some other pods. It's the best resume probably of the receivers in free agency, but he's more of like a limited role type player. So that's probably one of the concerns I'd have with him. Again, if he lands someplace that could offer him 120 targets, I'm interested as an innings eater, kind of in the wide receiver 40s range of the position. Michael Thomas restructured his contract with the Saints, paid him nearly $1 million to restructure and a way that makes him more cuttable. So we'll see how that ultimately unfolds. I think he's almost certainly a free agent. However, there's been some talk that he might try and restructure and come back and play. Listen, he's an elite performer when he's been on the field. 0.54 points per route run. It's 100 percentile type performance. 2.44 yards per route run. That's an elite, elite, elite performance as well. He's in the 50s in Dynasty ADP. He's a ceiling bet there. Make that ceiling bet. He's 30, but it's a ceiling bet. Again, if he can get on the field, we know that he still can play. And I think that's kind of the deal that I would say with him. I don't necessarily know he's got that huge 100th percentile type performance in his bag, but he's still certainly a player that can play. Alan Lazard's another one. Again, he's kind of like at best, like a middle reliever type deal. Same with Robert Woods. It's kind of be the thought there. Paris Campbell's a name that's going to pop up, I'm sure, in free agency. Some discussions there and the like. He's only got 32 games in his four-year career. He's managed 17 games in 2022, but caught 63 passes for 623 and 3 touchdowns on 91 targets. Just that's pretty lacking. His, for being a big explosive playmaker, he's only got 10.1 yards per catch in his career. So just not really hasn't really lived up to expectations, kind of the deal. DJ Shark has been kind of a weird career trajectory for him. Finished as wide receiver 18 in 2019, was more of a surprising one. I didn't really think he had that. I was kind of thinking of him as a bust coming in. I thought he was probably overdrafted, wasn't that productive in college, yada, yada. Injuries and poor play have kind of derailed him since then. Poor quarterback play has really derailed him since then. 52 targets in 2022 and only 11 games. He had a career best of only 1,008 yards. He's in line for kind of another prove it type deal this offseason is kind of the way that I would think about his trajectory. All right, and the last position here, we got the tight end position. A bunch of names. I think Gesicki is the most, it's probably the biggest name. I don't know. Dalton Schultz is the most interesting to me. He's much more likely to get open and do something with it than Gesicki is. It's like the easiest way to say it. All of these guys are very similar on a per route run basis. Okay, this is the big takeaway, I think, from this tight end class. They're all very similar on a per route run basis in terms of their fantasy production. So my takeaway from that is you should be really attuned to guys that are going to get an opportunity more so than the name brand. Okay, so Gesicki, contested catch rate of 28.4% is like a top 2 percentile. Again, he's always covered. He breaks tackles once every 23.1 receptions. That's a 6 percentile career performance. In other words, he doesn't separate and doesn't break tackles. Okay. It's almost entirely dependent on the situation around him. So, and it really not being good. So that way the best situation is just pound the ball into Gesicki. Not an ideal type situation there for him. So don't love it. Schultz, I think, can do a little bit more, breaks a tackle much more often, gets open more often, not as contested catch based. He's in tight end 10 range in recent dynasty evaluations. I mean, it's okay in that range. Again, I think Gesicki is more in like the 20s. So there's a difference there. That if you're just kind of betting for per route run volume, like take the cheaper guy, I guess. But Dalton Schultz is clearly the better player to me. Gesicki is a little bit. The thing I worry about Gesicki is how well is he received in free agency coming off this bad year? He's a very limited player. How does that go? Right, those things are all concerns to me. So I think Schultz has a better opportunity to land in a good spot. Foster Moreau is a fourth rounder. He's been kind of playing behind Waller during his career. He has got an opportunity to start actually 34 games in his career, so it's actually a decent sample, including 25 of the past two seasons. It's failed to stand out. Past two seasons, he's only caught 2 receptions per game and 24.8 receiving yards per game. During his career, he has 17.1 receiving yards in games where Waller has played compared to 35 in games he has not played. Again, that's okay, but nothing really to write home about. Again, not super interested. Again, if he landed in a spot that was like a clear starter opportunity, like they gave him starter audition type money, right? If he went Hunter Henry, I don't think he will. But if he did that, like, he's a clear sell to me. Robert Tonyan really had the big career season in 2020 when he had 11 touchdowns. That was the Rodgers MVP season, the first Rodgers MVP season. Then he tore his ACL, returned in 2022, 6 points per game, 6.6 points per game, 53 catches, 470 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns, despite really the lack of depth there. He's just a very touchdown-dependent, high variance-dependent type player. Not super interested. He's wide receiver 35 in recent dynasty evaluation. I'd imagine he signs like a prove-it type deal, something like that, maybe as a tight end too someplace. Hayden Hurst, what a trajectory he's had. Tight end 9 in 2020 after he was traded to the Falcons from Baltimore, where he got passed by Mark Andrews. Then they draft Kyle Pitts in Atlanta, and he's buried by Kyle Pitts. And then he lands with Cincinnati. It's tight end 20 in points per game at 7.8. It aggregates a little bit to value for streaming, 2 PPR for tight end, something like that. He's an average producer on a route run basis. All these guys are. It's tight end 30 in dynasty valuation. I'd imagine like he's got a decent shot from that range to actually get an opportunity someplace, right? The pedigree stuff sticks with you, right? He's been a starter. That kind of sticks with you. I think his perception on the NFL is better than it probably is in fantasy. So those things kind of stick with him, and I'd imagine it'd make him interesting in free agency. To some team that just wants a starter, trying to plug a hole. Irv Smith is next up here. 37 games in his 4-year career, only caught 2.5 receptions per game, and 23.2 receiving yards per game. End of the 2021 season, like really ready to go, prime for a breakout, and then tore his meniscus. Then suffered an ankle injury, which held him to only 8 games in 2022. It was at that point the Vikings were like, yeah, this isn't going to work. So they brought in TJ Hockenson. I imagine Smith hits free agency. Again, prove-it type deal, almost like a O.J. Howard prove-it type deal. We'll see how that ultimately lands there for him. Austin Hooper's the last one on the list and probably the most interesting to me from a production combined with value perspective. The best points per route run of his career this past year at 0.34. Again, he averaged below 6 points per game prior to 2 seasons, primarily because of a low passing volume attack by the Titans. He only was running between 50 and 60% of his team's dropbacks as well. Some of that probably has to do with some of their schematic stuff blocking. Listen, I think if he landed someplace that a team was like, you know, we're gonna run you out there and you're gonna kind of be the receiving centric guy in this offense, and maybe a tandem, not the receiving centric option in the offense, but the receiving centric option in the tight end space, right? Maybe we got a blocker, you know, whatever. They don't have a great option, you know, almost in the way that like the Jets brought in like multiple guys last year, how they brought in like Conklin and CJ Uzama, something like that. If he were to land there, like he's in the late 30s into the 40s of tight end valuations, I'm interested in that. Again, he was the most efficient on a per route run basis of these guys last year. Again, the volume's small, so you got to be careful with that. But I think the point holds that a lot of these guys are very close. If it's a good route opportunity landing spot, I'm kind of interested in a guy like Hooper, especially, again, he's not going to make a huge difference in like one tight end, you know, no premium formats, but in like where you're playing two PPR, where you're playing two tight ends, something like that, I still think he has a little bit something left to give. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this kind of a full rundown of all the tight end or all the free agent stuff, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Get you all that covered here for this edition. That's going to put a wrap on it. That'll put a bow on it for this this Sunday strategy session. Hope you got some stuff out of this about things to maybe look for, things to think about, and then we'll have free agent coverage this week and some more team building stuff on Sundays as we kind of get out of the NFL strategy aspect and more into some dynasty team building stuff as the offseason wears on. So that'll do it here for this edition. Until next time, continue embrace the variance. We're going to talk again very soon.